news, views, ideas, and hard truths. You're listening to the Insights Cairns podcast.
Well, hello, it's JR here on Insights Cairns. Great to have your company wherever you are in Australia and around the world. My two guests with us this afternoon, this is quite an honour to have them, after the election of state election in Queensland, sorry, the council elections in Queensland, I have Mayor Amy Eden.
G'day,
hello,
JR.
Amy. Nice to see you.
Yeah, and you.
That smile of yours is certainly a lot bigger the last time I saw you. And Division 9 Councillor and Deputy Mayor, Brett Olds, welcome to both of you.
Thanks, mate. It's good
fantastic
to be back on the show.
So the election was back in March. We've come forward quite a bit, actually. I think the dust is settled somewhat. Did you want to just have a brief talk about your experiences through the election itself? What stands out the most?
Probably the desire. I wanted this. I was an unintentional councillor last time, you know, the accidental politician, but it's very much the intentional mayoral candidate. And, geez, as it powered on, I wanted it. I camped out here on Mulgrave Road from midnight one night to get the good spot, because it's all about the good spot. And I was here with another one of the other candidates, a young girl. And this local person, lady, comes by and she sees us camping in these chairs and she's like, oh, my God, sisters, you can't be here. You want to come to my house? I've got food. I've got shelter. And we're like, no, we're good, thanks. She was very hospitable. But we saw a lot that night and some guy did a pee right near us.
Wasn't me
honestly,
this time.
Honestly, I thought there was a camel in town. It just did not stop.
It's a long walk from the city.
So, saw a lot of things, and it was quite the experience. But I'll just say I'm just so glad it's behind me because I was absolutely shattered, exhausted afterwards. Yeah.
So this is your second term?
Correct, yeah.
And you find yourself now the mayor of the greatest city in Australia?
Yeah, correct.
It's incredible, yeah, really, isn't it?
We are the capital of Northern
I heard you have an interview on another radio station and it was you asked your family and your daughter said, just do it, Mum. I mean, as casual as that, Amy.
Oh, as in to run for mayor?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think the words were, you got to risk it for the biscuit. go hard or go home, Mum. And I was like, righto. Brilliant.
She sounds like a 90s child. That was what we used to say back in the 90s.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, very cool. But, you know, I just want to say also, I've got Alty here, so I've got to be nice. No, but that's not true. we're laughing. Honestly, JR, Aldi will back me up on this. We have not laughed like we have been laughing what feels like for 4 years. It's so nice. It feels light and refreshing.
Yeah, I do commend you on that and congratulate both of you because I think the media during the campaign were trying to headbutt the two of you or the two of you headbutt each other. And look, you've appointed... Well, I guess the council have appointed Brett, but the nomination went forward. You didn't put up any roadblocks.
No.
You're like two rock stars of Cairns. You've got this whole new presence now and you sensed a change to go from the old school to a new type of school. This is your third term, Brett.
Yeah, this is my third term, yep.
So and you're Division 9, and just to clarify Division 9, folks, if you're not aware of Cairns, it's the Northern Beaches. It is paradise called Palm Cove, Alice Beach, Palm Cove, Clifton.
Kawarra. Trinity Beach.
It is just, people come from all around the world specifically
just
your
to see me,
part of the world.
Oh, and the
well,
beaches,
you're not
yeah
hard, you're not hard to miss, fella, let me tell you.
I've been in a good paddock for three terms.
So, but having, we did have you on Insights Cairns prior to Tropical Cyclone Jasper. Can we just get an update, Brett, from you first, just how people are faring on the Northern Beaches after that incredible wet season?
Yeah, well, luckily in Division 9, in my division, a lot of those, we had, I think, 82 houses that were impacted from moderate to heavy. It was Division 8. It was Machin's, Holloway's, Yorkies, Caravonica. they got totally smashed. And we are, Amy and I, the mayor and I, had a meeting last week with the CEO of Suncorp, and so far they've got through half of the insurance claims. So there's still a hell of a lot of insurance claims out there, and it's been, what, 4.5, 5 months since Jasper happened. So a lot of people, they're struggling. A lot of people lost everything, and you hear the sad stories and everything coming through. Some didn't have insurance, some were underinsured. But yeah, I don't know. It's there's not much else to say except there's people really hurting still.
And he said that the CEO said that it will be at least 6 months until they complete this process.
Yeah, and look, that's people, and we've spoken about this before. There are people who are unlikely to go back to their homes in those areas north of Smithfield.
Barron River.
Barron River. People who can't afford to move back. They'll probably never, well, probably have left Cairns forever. But the frightening thing from all of us is that rising insurance costs out of this wet season, that's a big dilemma.
And then we talked about the reinsurance pool last time we were on here, and this was its first big test. And there's been some holes in it, but there's been some things that have come out. But I think what was promised by the politicians back in the day, the federal politicians, and what they actually got, the people on the ground, there's left a little bit to be desired. So we've had about 3 meetings, I think, in the last 7 days with different people. We've got to try, we're working with Townsville and a few other different councils and Chamber of Commerce to try and put together something to take to the federal government and say, hey, here's where we think you can fix it, because it's the
it
people up
be
here.
Better.
Yeah, we need better equity.
So council itself, Amy, you're searching for a new CEO. Is council still operating at 100%?
I would say absolutely, yeah. We are well on track, just doing what we need to do. Our budget, you know, we plan to have that delivered by the end of the financial year. So that's, you know, that has been occupying us. Also, onboarding has been significant. So, yeah, definitely BAU, business as usual, and we're just ticking along.
And your consistent campaign message throughout the election campaign was transparency. You still stand by that?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, lucky I brought Aldie here. He can.
I won't let her tell you lies, JR.
Oh, I know. I bet.
But he
I
can
bet.
Explain.
What a wingman.
You know, he's been there previously under different leadership.
Yes.
And sure, we've been there 5 minutes under an Eden-led council, but it is very different. And one of those things that I'm doing differently is consistent communication and very transparent processes and communication. So everyone, all the councillors know what's going on and when it's going on.
So from Division 1, which is our Gordon Vale area, and that's Brett
Muller
retained.
He was unopposed.
Unopposed. Yep. Next.
We've got Matthew Tickner.
New.
Yep.
On your team.
Independent. So we're really a team of independent.
Yeah, it
council.
Is a mix. It's It's not loaded by Team Eden.
It's not loaded by anyone.
Yeah.
Other than...
How many independents are on?
I'd say that we're all independents because Team Eden doesn't exist.
Okay.
And you've got 3 former Unity councillors, so they don't have a majority. So really we're all operating independently for our divisions, for our LGA, under the one council vision, which is great.
Kathy Zeigler, unopposed.
No, she had two.
Oh, she had two.
Yeah, and she still retained, 70%?
Yeah, she took on all comers and smashed them.
Sure.
She did good.
Rob Pine back in.
Well,
no, he's in Division 5 now. You skipped Trevor Tim.
Yeah, he is.
Trevor Tim is 4. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's new. Terrific.
They believe he's the first Indigenous councillor for our council.
Isn't that wonderful?
So that's, I mean, I find it hard to believe in 2024 that that's the case, but yeah, it is wonderful.
And I've known him nearly 40 years, and he's got the greatest sense of humour of all time. So
people, not product.
yeah, that's it. He is funny. He's a laugh and a half.
Yeah, yeah. So. And look, he probably does represent one of the oldest suburban areas of Cairns as well, which is the Earlville, Bayview, Moorabool.
He doesn't have Bayview. He's got the 3 M's: Moonora, Monunda, Moorabool, and Earlville.
Yeah. And it's about 60,000-odd ratepayers?
No,
we've got...
Six.
In the division or overall?
Overall.
In the LGA we're about 77?
Yeah, that's about 77,000 ratepayers, but single dwellings, about 50,000 houses. So then you've got your apartments and everything else. But yeah, there's 176,000 population and about 77,000 rateable properties.
Wow, it's enormous.
So each division's around 9,000 to 12,000 ratepayers.
Rhonda Coughlin, she's back. Rhonda's back.
Yep. So you've missed 6 and 7. Yeah. But yeah.
Fill me in. Tell me. That's good. That's good. It's a test, actually.
Ah, you're smooth. Yeah.
Keep going.
You mentioned Rob Pine before. He moved from Division 2 to Division 5 and won. He's an enigma. He won Division 3 years ago.
Then before he was the MP?
Before he was the state MP, and he left, and then Kathy Zeiger became the 3. Then he came back and won 2, beat John Schilling, and then he's moved to Division 5, and he's taken on all comers, and there was some good people in that field, and he smashed him again.
Well,
and so
it wasn't a complete smashing. He won by 202 votes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there was a big field in Division 5. Like, there's a lot of people stealing votes from each other, but he came out on top again.
He has been on the political scene for a long time.
Yeah.
Of course, his father was the
Mayor of Mulgrave.
And the first
Mayor of Cairns City Council too, when they combined. Yeah. The Cairns Regional Council.
Rob's known for his outburst, but he speaks his mind and he'll. You know,
call a spade a shovel.
Exactly.
Much like myself.
But what do you think is the appeal of Rob Pine himself, Brett?
He does the hard work when he goes around during a campaign. He'll get around to everyone's house at least twice in a 4-year period. But over the campaign, and when you talk to him, he's a good talker and he knows his stuff.
He's well read.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He's
very knowledgeable.
Put the K's in, and you know, to be fair, it's not always easy. In his chair, so he's got to rely on carers and things like that and work around those obstacles. But he definitely got out there, and his messaging was simple, but it was just on repeat. It was just consistent, consistent, consistent.
Well, Matthew Tickner talked about that today. Councillor Tickner was saying he was a bit, you know, before, and he's been in the political scene for a while at the state and federal levels, you know, helping people. But he said, I thought that door knocking was a thing of the past. And today he goes, it's not. As soon as you start door knocking, he goes, people actually like you coming to the door, even if they say they don't. Like, oh, that doesn't influence me. That grassroots stuff works. And Rob Pine, he did a lot of that grassroots stuff.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Yeah. What about you?
How
many doors did you knock on, Brett?
Mate, I never shut up. So, people, I'm always talking to people for the whole 4 years. So
before we get back to your division, and I'm keen to hear your results as well, so then you have
Christy,
and she's Red Lynch.
Yeah, Red Lynch, Kamarunga, a little bit of Brinsmead.
Right.
Yeah. And then you've got Division 7.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Middleton.
New councillor.
Okay.
She's taken over from Maxie.
Yeah, right.
O'Halloran.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got Edgehill, bit of Manunda, bit of...
Again, well-established traditional Cairns suburbs.
Bit of Manura as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Rhonda Coughlin, who you mentioned, Division 8, and she, all those impacted suburbs, that was pretty much her whole division.
Mm. Well, that's right. Yes. Yeah. We had a Rhonda post-TC Jasper on Insights Cairns. And it was a really insight. I'm looking at my producer now. We were just glued to every word that Rhonda told us about what was happening in her division with people who were forced out of their homes and maybe never come back. And just the destruction of Tropical Cyclone Jasper was quite amazing. It was incredible. So.
Cairns insights.
Exactly. So you, young man, third term.
Yeah, Division
and deputy.
Nine. Yep.
Worked hard, rewarded well.
Yeah, I walked a lot of Ks. I hand deliver a lot of pamphlets and stuff. I put together a 4-pager just talking about what I've achieved over the last 8 years and what I hope to achieve, because people want to know that you've got a plan. And I didn't door knock as much as I did the first time, and we didn't door knock at all the second time because COVID was here.
Sure.
People didn't want you knocking the door and breathing on them. They were a bit scared. So, So we this time I didn't door knock as much as I previously had. Because when you're the incumbent, people know that you're a doer. They'll sit there and talk to you for an hour, every single person, and tell you all the things they need fixed. So I was like, what I'll do is I'll go around, and I walked around myself to every suburb and hand-delivered stuff, and people would come out and talk to you on the street and everything. So it still works as grassroots stuff. But if I went up and physically knocked on every single door, it's a bit harder as the incumbent, because they know they can hold you accountable. So, hey, I told you this. I'm like, yeah, but I just spoke to 1,000 people the last 2 weeks. I can't get to yours just yet. But anyway, I got in with 77%.
So you increased your percentage?
No, last time I got 80%. 87%, but there was, because of COVID, everyone kind of stuck with who they knew.
Right,
the incumbents all got in and there wasn't as big a turnout. So I think even though I got 87% last time, I only got 6,000 and something people voted for me. This time I had 8,002 first preference votes people vote for me. So I increased the number of people that voted, but the percentage still 77. That's
still
pretty
very good.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like Belarus numbers, you know. Putin got them too the same week. So.
But you're a bit social media savvy.
Yeah, I don't mind.
You do work that well.
Yeah, I always told people I'd always be accessible, and so sometimes it's to my detriment because on Mother's Day at 9:30 the other night at night, people were having a crack at me on Facebook, and I couldn't help but respond. So, because I always said I'd respond, and sometimes I regret saying that. Because I'd rather not have to be on Facebook sometimes. It gets you down when people start having a crack at you, but I give my fair share back.
What do you think of the plan of the Premier of South Australia bringing in a ban on under 14-year-olds from social media? Are you across that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a communist. I don't like putting too many rules out. I leave let the parents raise their kids in mind, get the state out of it.
We might touch on that a little bit later.
Just while we're on the door knocking.
Sorry, yes, yeah, let me come.
So I was doing some letterbox dropping and door knocking, and then probably 40 minutes after I'd knocked on a door, I get a text message from the person that I was door knocking with, which was from the incumbent mayor, that I had knocked on his daughter-in-law's front door or something. I was like, I love how cancer's such a small little So, we can see that Councillor Eden's out in White Rock door knocking, but where's Councillor Zyga? That's meant to be her division. I'm just like, well, fair crack, where are the other candidates as well? You know, like the division.
Exactly, exactly.
So people are always just checking up.
Did I miss something with the whole campaign? I struggled to find or hear or see a lot of dirty business going on. Was it a different campaign, do you think, to previous years?
I think it comes down to the people, JR. Like, I'd made a commitment to myself and our team that...
And you stuck to your guns.
We're not going dirty.
Yeah.
People don't want it. They don't want to hear how slack or whatever the other people are. They want to hear what you can do. And I think you just keep your eye on the prize.
Do you think the timing this time and the natural disaster that we had may have also had that effect on people that not a calming effect, but they just wanted to get on with it? They wanted you to get on with it. Let's get this election done out of the way.
I think it was because the community might have felt that, but I think it's up to the individuals. Like the mayoral candidates, even at the debates, I think there was sometimes it was a hard thing said, but it was pretty respectful.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So I think it came down to the people themselves. In 2016 when I ran, I was just running as an independent, but there was two teams running, the Uni team and the Connect Cairns team, and I've never seen an uglier election, and I've helped out at state and federal elections too. That was terrible. And in fact, the returning officers came out at the Cairns Showgrounds, which was the site, and told one team, Connect Cairns, I'll say it, they said, if you guys keep doing this bad behaviour, we're kicking you all out. So that was really aggressive. Do you remember, you guys would have got it in your mail. There was like, they were putting pamphlets out talking trash about the incumbent, about Bob Manning. Mm. And that was really ugly politics, and it didn't work for him. And then 2020, because of COVID, there was no door knocking, and we eventually couldn't even sit there and try and harass people like a seagull after a chip. And this one, I don't know, it was more respectful.
2012 was pretty ugly.
Yeah,
that was Val versus Manning.
Yes,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, you're right.
That was ugly.
It was.
Correct.
So I guess people were after a change.
Oh, definitely. 12 years of the same.
And you did strike a chord with a demographic that would probably, especially younger demographic, new to the election process and so forth. And we've had a big influx of Southerners into far north Queensland as well. So they weren't up to date with what had happened in previous elections.
I think the values also changed.
Know.
That it didn't matter
Absolutely.
If you didn't have five generations in the cemetery locally. Like, that wasn't a value that determined if you could be a good, you know, civic leader.
Mm.
Like, really. They wanted someone who was approachable, contactable, sharing information, abreast of all the things going on in the city. That's what they wanted.
But you also don't sell yourself short. Like, to be honest, Amy, they called her, a couple of friends of mine called her Amy Everywhere.
Yeah.
She was everywhere. You were outworked. You pretty much outworked the rest of them. Like, you ran a really solid campaign. Matthew Tickner worked a really good campaign in Division 2, like I said, Pine did as well. But I don't think anyone worked harder than Amy did that time. And I was sitting back with hindsight, looking back, and those mates that told me that, she's Amy Everywhere. I'm like, she's had a, I thought she had a doppelganger, because I was like, she was. She seemed to be at every event, at every letter opening, at whatever was going on. So even though there was a move for change, had you not have worked that hard, it could have been different. So you can't, you got to
pat on the back.
Like I said, I was very intentional. You know, it cost me a lot of money. It's a very expensive job interview.
Yeah, sure. You put your job on the line because if you weren't successful, you're
stacking shelves at Woolies.
Correct.
Or IGA.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No. I wouldn't mind doing that for a bit.
So well done to you both. Well, let's move forward now and what's the future of Cairns and so forth. I see water is a big priority for the council.
Indeed, yeah.
And 2026 is only 3 years away and we could be running out by then. So our capacity...
It's only 2 years away.
2024, only 2 years away.
We're going to get water,
serious?
JR. Yeah.
We have to get it.
Water is life. It's essential.
Totally.
Yeah, we need water. So whether we get the funding or not, the project will go ahead.
And people are moving to far north Queensland. Melbourne has seen Queensland has seen a massive shift of new residents, particularly from Victoria or Melbourne itself, and it's not slowing down. Mm. So where are we? Are the state and federal governments coming on board? We've got a state election this year.
We're definitely putting as much pressure as we can on, and positive pressure at this stage. Mm. As we get closer, if it doesn't look to be going our way, we're pretty optimistic. We've got some good operators in the economic development team. A lot of good work has been done behind the scenes with the state and feds. The federal budget comes out tonight. But we're not expecting to see anything there. They'll probably react to the state, first of all. And they've already, both the state and feds have already put up $107.5 million each. Mm. So and we're going to stage this project out to get built, so we're okay to get started. If we have to borrow the money ourselves as a council and the ratepayers pay it back, we've got clear plans to let the ratepayers know exactly how much that's going to cost them, because there's been other regions in central Queensland and in other parts of the state that have had hundreds of millions, including Townsville with the Horton Dam project.
Correct.
Stage 1 and 2, they've had hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, $600 million for Horton, paid for by the state. They've got form in this area. They just need to be equitable. And I think at the last, on my first interview with you guys on the show, I talked about the billions of dollars over the last 10 years that our region hasn't had. Mm. So we feel optimistic at the moment, but we do have plans in there to make sure that if they don't come through, then we'll be letting the public know exactly what we've missed out on. I don't expect tonight to see anything in the morning, but the state government in October, they've got an election. They've got a budget coming out in June, and we would really love to see some something in the budget there.
So does it mean building Copperlode up on the wall?
No.
Absolutely not.
Completely whole new different project.
You know, it's the Mulgrave River. So Copperlode Dam, if we built that up, structurally, you could probably build up a little bit, but you put more volumes of water there, which puts more risk for the people in the valley, and you're not going to get enough water out of that anyway. So it's stage one is the Mulgrave River. It's expensive water because Copperlode, when they built that in 1976, it's all gravity-fed. The people that invented that were way ahead of their time. We only have 58,000 residents in Cairns. Now we've got 177. The foresight was huge.
Incredible.
But now we're basically, for the listeners, we're just basically putting a straw down into the Mulgrave Aquifer. Then we've got to pump it, so use a lot of electricity, pump it up to a hill and treat it. Huge water treatment plant. Bahana Creek is where we get out of the water. And we've got Cryptosporidium, which is like an algae or bacteria that we have to kill with UV light. So we can't use the whole of the flow that we get from Bahana, and we have boil water notices all the time in Babinda and Gordonvale. So what we'll do is we'll pump that into the water treatment plant as well, and we'll double the amount of water we can pull out of Bahana. And then once you treat it, then you can put it down into the whole reticulations, to the whole network. And it is expensive water, more expensive than Copperlode, but that's stage one. Stage two, we'll be increasing that again, looking at doing that in the next 15 years. Stage one will last for over 50 years, but in 15 years or so, we will have to upgrade that.
The next,
yeah.
So that's putting infrastructure into the southern corridor, southern suburbs of
the infrastructure,
of Cairns.
Yes, but it's going to go into the network for the whole LGA.
That can flow, say, up to Ellis Beach, Palm Cove.
Not to Ellis Beach at the moment.
Yeah, well, as far as...
The water network.
Yep.
Just touching on, I was lucky enough to be a passenger heading up to Port Douglas on Saturday, and it gives you a chance to look at the landslips as you come into Ellis Beach. Some of them go almost to the peak of the mountain range. They are unbelievable.
Yeah, there's like 100 extra waterfalls on that drive now. It's a different drive, isn't it?
It's just incredible.
So many people walk up there now, which I don't recommend in case there's more slips, but that's what the concern has been too, because every little bit, and it's rained, it hasn't stopped. We haven't had a full week of no rain yet.
Some of those smaller waterfalls on the highway heading up to Port Douglas are still flowing, Brett.
Yeah, that's
from
right.
December.
They'll continue to drop water out. So that's what the road crews are waiting for, is the dry season to really get up there and have
dry
a look.
Season.
Yeah.
What year?
Yeah. Before Christmas?
Yeah.
Let's hope so. We just went off track just a little bit there, but water certainly is important. I have to bring up security, and I have to talk about the CBD.
Okay.
And, yeah, well, that's what we're here to do. What
the hard conversations, JR.
Well, I've lived here nearly 40 years, Amy, and I'm seeing my paradise crumble.
It's actually quite heartbreaking.
It's very heartbreaking. Mm. It's either we're discussing smashed windows, doors kicked in, shops, well, I've always seen shops closed and ply going up on the windows, and all you see is security guards. What are the council's plans to try and turn that around?
So, look, one of the things that I campaigned on, JR, was to petition to the Premier to identify Cairns to be a proactive policing site. And I haven't had a chance, because we've been doing all of our onboarding and going through budgets, to talk to the council about that. But that is definitely on my list to talk about. To me, it's a no-brainer. Council have over 500 CCTV cameras throughout our local government area. TMR, so the Transport Main Roads, they have cameras. Ports North, they have cameras. You connect all of those cameras and they are proactively policed by a QPS, Queensland Police Officer, you can intervene before things escalate. Currently, these cameras are used predominantly post-event. So we want to change that.
Yeah.
And we know that we can. In 2018... there was a Romeo Paso operation using our CCTV camera room with a QPS officer in there, and we saw crime stats drop by approximately 50% in that time. So we know it can work, and I'm really confident in that, that we can do that again. So that's one of the things, JR. But looks like Oldsy's biting at the bit. He's got some stuff to say.
Yeah, no, well, just to go on with that too is, and the listeners, the more we play in this space, the more people think we own this space. Community safety and policing is a state issue.
Exactly.
It falls under their remit. Because it's not being taken care of right now, as a council, we have jumped in there. We spend about $5 million a year of ratepayers' money with CBD security, with no arrest powers, and now we've expanded that into the suburbs because we've had to. They've got no arrest powers, but they can put on a light, they can put on their TVs, they've got cameras on their chest, and try and disperse kids and in the CBD try and do stuff. I had a conversation today, literally, with one of our colleagues. I haven't even had a chance to talk to the mayor about this, and they've talked to a police officer, because Amy and I, back in the 90s, Kevin Byrne, as the mayor, he got dogs and walked around the CBD with dogs to take care of some of these itinerants that are defecating, urinating, stabbing, all these kind of things. It's not a new issue.
It's not.
It's not being policed.
It's been around
it's a
very,
problem.
Very long time.
But Kevin Byrne told me before he passed away, I called him up and I said, what are your thoughts on having dog patrols? He goes, Brett, they work. And then I talked to a colleague today, which I'll fill the mayor in a bit later, or everyone now, and they went out because they're against this idea and talked to one of the head police officers, and he goes, it's a stupid idea, you shouldn't be doing it. And I said, well, what was his solution? They said, let the police do it. Well, letting the police do it isn't fixing anything. So I think
already talked to QPS with the dog squad.
Yeah.
And they won't do it because the dogs are trained specifically, that the dogs they have now are trained specifically for the scent. And so they will be, you know, trying to find someone who's just broken into a car or things like that.
Exactly.
They're not doing
and
the
that's
controls.
Not going away either.
No, so those dogs need to be obviously trained and utilised for that purpose, because obviously we still have a stolen car problem. However, as the Divisional 5 councillor, CBD councillor, for years I was asking the previous council, can we trial doing dog patrols? Because I've gone back through the archives that are housed at the museum and you can see photos that were in the paper with the big German Alsatian or Shepherd or whatever
German,
it was.
German Shepherds, Alsatians. That's a political correct word, Alsatians.
They were contractors, absolutely.
They're German Shepherds. But yeah, heightened security, they actually use dogs right
they
now in our LGA, but we don't use them and we use heightened in our CBD. The council, I'm not saying that's going to be the answer. I think Amy and I are open to any solutions and will always advocate to the state to get them to do their job. But if they're not going to step up, which they haven't, our council has stepped up and we're doing what we can, guys. But we can't, we have no arrest powers. So our security they can't, they've got tip out powers, but they don't even do that sometimes because if it causes an issue, they might fire up. But when you turn up to one of these, and it's alcohol's always involved in drugs, itinerants and people that are rough sleepers, it's only the drunks that are the problems when alcohol is involved or drugs. But I tell you what, these heightened guys that I spoke to, they said turning up with even five big guys, you'll get confrontation. Turning up with one person, even if it's a little woman with a German Shepherd, everyone's very compliant.
Different story.
Doesn't have to bite them. Just the presence of having it there, you get very compliant people moving on.
Just on rough sleepers, Cairns is well known for the fact that once winter comes into the southern suburbs, we will see an influx of rough sleepers, and because of the economic situation, rental and so forth, that's been impacting us already, and we're probably going to see a lot more. Are these people safe enough to sleep on the street?
Yeah, good question.
Where are the facilities? Where do they go? The caravan parks are full.
Are you talking about people from the Cape and Torres that have
From down south.
Right.
Just down south, up. Who are homeless, who always travel north
for the warmth,
to get away from Melbourne, and Adelaide and Sydney.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, it is a great question. The answer is no. We don't have the facilities. Mm. They're going to be end up in the CBD. They'll be urinating and wherever
they'll be targeted,
and they will be. And it's just not a good scenario. There are groups, there are non-government organisations out there that specifically exist to deal with these problems. We've got 37 organisations here that deal with homelessness, rough sleepers and itinerants. And I asked back when that Romeo, what was it called?
Romeo Paso.
When Romeo Paso was there, it was Senior Sergeant Dwayne Amos was heading up that task force.
He's just announced for Cook.
He's just announced to run for the state. Yeah. He is a really good bloke.
Good operator.
He did. The problem with the task force is it only lasts for a few months and they go away. That's what they do. But I asked him the question when he was talking to council. I said, wait a second. If what you do is successful, what happens to those 37 organisations? They're out of a job. And he goes, you've just hit the nail on the head, councillor. If we do too good a job, it's almost like it's geared the wrong way. What are these 37? And some of these organisations are great, so I'm not trying to throw dirt.
No.
But 37 organisations to take care of a problem that's only growing, to me, those KPIs, something's missing. If there's that many organisations here to help, how come it's not working? Can we have an audit? Can we look into it? Maybe let's do something differently. Other places in the world, Missouri has had these issues. Like, you have to look, you can't look at like a third world country and try and do apple. That's apples and oranges. But there are places, apples and apples, that have done successful programs before and their rates of recidivism are really low, like in Missouri. And we should be looking elsewhere. Who's doing this successfully? What can we learn from them?
I would also just say, coordination is key. So, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, whatever, we have a sexual assault about 5 a.m. down by Hilton. Guess what? Black spot. We have no camera footage because it's Port's Northland.
Right.
But to a resident, to a visitor, they don't care if it's council land or Port's Northland. They want to feel safe and we want to have eyes in the city for that very reason. So there needs to be a coordinated approach, JR, because that's clearly not working. We couldn't see that incident happen, but we saw the aftermath once they came into our camera network.
Yep. There was an incident, alleged sexual assault on a woman outside the front of Woolworths at 10 a.m. last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
10 a.m.
By a 10-year-old.
Oh, I did read that.
Yeah.
What's happening to our country? 10-year-old kid in the 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's an allegation. And this young lady was actually on local radio today talking about her experience, which is
it's a sad state of affairs.
And a visitor from overseas.
Yeah.
This is our paradise.
Brand Cairns is definitely in the firing.
It's a big task for you. It's a massive
huge
job.
I had a business owner actually call on Friday, and I get a text from my EA going, I know you've already left for the afternoon. This lady says that you know her from when you were the divisional counsellor. She said you're the only one who will listen. Can I please pass on her number? So I'm like, sure, if you can just explain that I'm driving and I will speak to her once I'm not driving. So I call her. She's on the phone crying. I get another phone call. Then I'm getting text messages from other business owners. It's now 6:30 on a Friday night. That was my regular gig as a CBD counsellor, having distressed business owners on the phone. They don't know what to do, who to call. Then on Saturday night, I have a lady private message me on my private page, which I generally don't answer, but I did actually know who she was. And she said, blah, 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 this whole big incident happened up at the northern end of the Esplanade. And then she ended it with, and my question to you, Mayor Eden, what are you going to do about it? And so I wrote back and said, my question to you is, did you ring the police? No, I didn't, because they never turn up.
Oh, well.
So I'm like, well, you got to help yourself to help everyone. Mm. You know, I called security. I'm like, the incident you just described was not a situation that our security officers can deal with.
I think this thing about the police don't turn up, I think that's old.
It is. And
they will turn up.
They do. And you know, the business owners that I spoke to on Friday night in the CBD that have had their windows smashed and blah, 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 they praised the police.
Yes.
They praised them.
They were targeted on Anzac Day.
Yeah, and there's been some more
as
well.
Our greatest day for this nation, business owners were targeted.
But back to coordination. So we need to be speaking very regularly with QPS and others, Ports North, others, to make sure that we're all working on the...
So just one more thing about law and order in this town.
No, passionate on this.
The police air wing, right or wrong?
In my opinion, that's wrong. Before we get there, I was going to say the other thing, not just with the coordination, we need to be speaking, and we haven't had a chance yet because we've been onboarding and doing budget stuff, and we've been in only for 4 weeks since we got sworn in with our state MPs and our federal MPs, and I think the Mayor and I, we've already got meetings set up, and that's something we're going to regularly do because if we don't work together, we all either win together or we succeed together or we fail together, and that's one thing we'll do. But the helicopter...
failure is not an option.
Failure is not an option.
It can't.
They say success is the child of many parents and failure is an orphan, but I
love that.
Yeah, with regards to the helicopter, $4,000 an hour.
Yes.
Catching these kids is not the problem. You go talk to any senior sergeant, I'm not going to name names or anything, any high-up officer in Canada, they will tell you it's about 70 to 75 kids that are causing 90% of the crime. They know exactly where they are. They can go around and pick them up now. It's the magistrates. It's the turnstile door with these kids going in, getting a slap on the wrist and going back out that same day and committing more crime. So spending $4,000 an hour of taxpayers' money...
is a very expensive Band-Aid, Brett.
It is. And the optics on that, I mean, people say about optics of having a dog around too. The optics, it's like South Central LA. So we used to see this as kids in America. Helicopters doing the chase, the Bronco with O.J. Simpson. Yep. This is in Cairns right now.
Correct.
And I'm like, I think the state had it right last time when they said, no, it's a waste of money and it's not the answer to this problem. And then
because
of the election, they've done a backflip. And I'm like, stick to your guns, guys. You were right the first time. There's better ways to spend $4,000 an hour to fix this problem. But anyway, that's my opinion.
People listening now, we're talking to Mayor Amy Eden and Deputy Mayor Brett Olds. And Amy, I've just seen the passion come out of you about this, our beautiful paradise town, and it just drew a tear, didn't it? Talking about how bad the situation is.
I love this.
And it's genuine.
Yeah, it's dead set.
Don't worry, I'm close too.
It's dead set genuine.
I've got kids here, I've raised my kids here. I think it's the greatest place in Australia, nearly the world, to raise children. And I'm just beaten up by the destructive behaviour of state politicians to not get off their backsides and nail it.
Yeah. It's tough.
But we, I've taken the sledgehammer to him a few times and probably hasn't worked.
You have.
But probably
been very vocal.
And
I've heard you.
Yeah, and someone's called me up yesterday and goes, oh, it's good that you're the deputy mayor with this mayor because you're like the odd couple. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, no, you compliment each other. So Amy can be the surgeon's
knife. Well, I'm actually seeing complimentary behaviour here right now. Yeah, no, it's fabulous.
We have worked well together over that 4 years.
Over the 4 years, we've always worked well together. I just thought it was funny that comment, but I am a bit of a blunt instrument and Amy can be more of the surgeon's blade, but I think we need both and we need to work with the state and the federal government. But this crime thing, there's not one person in Cairns that would say they're happy with it at the moment. So something's got to change. And with the election coming up, there's a prime opportunity, put some pressure on, some positive pressure. The helicopter idea to me is ludicrous.
I did a post about a broken water main. It was just after 5 in the morning. And the lady that I was walking with took a photo of me ringing it in to the 1300 number. And I did a little shout out to the crews. You know, they 24/7, they respond to these calls. Anyway, someone commented to say how brave I was for walking in the dark.
Yeah,
and I thought,
exactly.
Geez Louise, really?
I know.
To have that level of fear?
Yes.
You shouldn't live with that, JR.
And we're not alone. It's right around this country.
Yeah, yeah.
We're Australia, for goodness sake. Land of the free.
We should be the safest country on the planet. Like, North Queensland, Australia, particularly, like we're in a region, we're in a beautiful area. It does. It breaks your heart.
We had three
shootings in a week about 4 weeks ago. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm like, are we in Northern Ireland back in the 90s? Yeah. Are we in South Central LA? This is Cairns. I've lived here since 1989. I've got my kids here. We chose to come back from America. My wife's from Texas because I believe this is the best place in the world to raise kids. And watching what's happening and not having the ability to fix it with your own two hands, it is really frustrating. But we play a part and we'll keep trying. But anyway, sorry.
It's good. You'll be there's a landmark coming up for you in council. It's called the 100-day mark, which is you were explaining before. It's not actually a part of council, but
it's probably a rod for my own back.
That's all right. And that coincides with the end of financial year and your first budget.
Mm.
Can we have you after that? On Insights Cairns.
It's a date.
So I'm going to let you go now. You've been absolutely wonderful. We congratulate you. It's a breath of fresh air and we're looking forward to hear more from both of you.
Look, if you want an Oldsie and Amy or Amy and Oldsie segment as a regular gig, if the listeners like
it. Who would have
like
ever
it?
Thought this chemistry was going to work between
you?
You've got a long way to go and thank you very much for being a part of Insights Cairns again.
Cheers, JR.
Thank you very much.
Ciao, ciao.
One-on-one conversations. Roundtable discussions. News and views. You're listening to the Insights Cairns podcast.